Previously on DDFP.
Stafford complete. Calvin Johnson to the end zone, fumbles it, and it goes out of bounds. It's ruled a touchback.
This was a botched call. We know it. The league knows it.
You can't review that.
Now that the Lions probably would have blown it anyway, let's face it.
Mike, what was it like playing with Coach Cower? I assume he yelled a lot, right?
It wasn't really the yelling, it was the spitting. You know, he's probably one of the reasons why I put that shield on my helmet.
Handsome Hank, of course, he's charming and handsome and he speaks well. Do you think when he goes...
You love him so much, why don't you marry him?
He's kind of hot.
Hey, Tori, don't let Shaq get you in trouble.
Shaq's not getting him in trouble. I love Torrey Smith.
If it all goes down and we have to get these cleats back on, you ain't gonna be out there to help him.
You don't think I would have your back, MJD?
No, we're talking about Torrey Smith.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Damashek. Welcome to the Dave Damashek football program presented by McDonald's. I'm loving it. I'm loving all day breakfast. Who wouldn't love the option of being able to eat breakfast when your belly decides it's time to eat a breakfast? It's America, after all. You know what? The big blue marble needs breakfast whenever you decide it's time for breakfast. McDonald's is there for you. I'm also loving that week 5 is upon us. The red challenge flag pick segment. Handsome Hank still over in the UK filling in for him today. Bucky Brooks, you see him. Well, now you hear him. Mr. Fancy Pants on the Move the Sticks podcast, just like this one, the Dave Damashek football program, available on iTunes, Stitcher, NFL.com, YouTube. You can give it a watch. Move the Sticks is also on YouTube, around the NFL, so on and so forth. But yes, you've flown the coop now, Bucky, as so many others have. You've left the friendly confines of Studio 66 and flown away to a higher level, haven't you?
I mean, I'm a free agent. And so yeah. I'm just bouncing around trying to find my way.
Well, you know what? You know? That kind of loyalty, or should I say disloyalty.
Disloyalty.
May result. It may not. We'll see what happens. The Shecky Awards are just on the horizon now. You know, December, end of December, we will hand out the coveted Shecky Award for our favorite ex-football playing guest. You were the front runner at one point.
Yeah, but then I got kind of scooted out. You had so many other guys rolling through. Nate Burleson, mm-hmm. big Mike Robb taking it. Right. Ike and MJD. Like, I mean, I got to get some minutes.
Don't pass the buck, Buck.
I got to get some minutes.
Speaking of the buck and the friendly confine, my Bucks are done for 2015. Another one-game playoff. Another quick departure. They got out-aced again. Last year, Bumgarner. This year, Arrieta. But that's in the rearview mirror. I'm looking ahead to pro football. Let's say hello to a guy who covers it on HQ Monday through Friday in the mornings. You see his power rankings. You see his weekly picks on NFL.com. It's Elliot Harrison. What's the poop with you, fella?
Hey, man. You know, so Bucky, I think I won the Shecky 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah?
I didn't get anything.
No?
Last year.
You don't give him hardware?
No, last year I won it in a landslide. Mm-hmm. Landslide.
Yeah, he did.
I got
he really did. He ran away with the fan vote. We put that one to a fan vote. Our favorite non-football playing guest of the year. He
you know
won in
got?
2014.
You know what I got?
What?
I didn't even get a can of SpaghettiOs.
Are
Nothing.
You crazy?
Oh,
Nothing.
I know this year, though. Like, you're sponsoring it. You're big time.
That's right. McDonald's? You think I could at least get a Big Mac?
Oh, it should be like $100.
Year's supply of Egg McMuffins. Hey.
Something.
Drop us a line. Join in on the conversation. Hit me up at Damashek. You can hit us up at NFL Now. Kibitz with us. Hashtag DDFP is how you do that. Fellas, there's much to talk about. Like I say, you can see if you're looking at this show rather than listening to it. You can see the red challenge flags are on the desk here. That means they may
ghosties.
Get thrown as we go through the big games of week 5 here. In the meantime, a matchup that we saw that started the season off, so it's a good place for us to start with this. I've always found it fascinating, and I've noticed some other people out there, some other networks and such, have latched onto this idea as well. But we started yapping about this, I think, 4 years or so ago with Jared Allen and Adam Rank and Handsome Hank. It's fascinating to me to consider, out of the 32 teams, who would win a fight for instance, you know, you have the Seahawks and the Bengals playing this weekend. That's a big matchup. If a Seahawk and a Bengal Tiger had a fight, who would win that out in the wild? If you had, you know, if like Thunderdome, two mascots entered.
Animal Planet.
What's that?
Like basically like an Animal Planet.
Well, but all the mascots of the NFL are not beasts that walk the earth. You know, some of them are people. Some of them are machines. Who knows? That's why we've decided to put them inside a Thunderdome of our own. It's time for the debut of where 2015 NFL season started. Remember the Steelers and Patriots hooking up when this thing got going? Let's see, in a literal sense, who would win that. It's time for the first edition of the mascot matchup. Take a look here.
Corner, a revolutionary soldier. Standing 5 feet, 6 inches tall, he's got a musket and is no stranger to battle. In the other corner, a steel worker sporting a metal hat and sizable muscles hewn from countless hours of lifting heavy stuff. The Patriot goes quick to his musket. Look out! Wait a minute. The steely fella is using his hat as a shield. Ingenious. Now he's beating the Patriot with it. Too late to wave the white flag. Now the steelworker is throwing the soldier into molten iron. This one goes to Pittsburgh. Might is right.
All right. Consolation. Consolation for the Steelers fan. Yeah, that's right.
Well, of course they won.
I needed a pick-me-up. I needed a pick-me-up. The Pirates are out of the playoffs. The Steelers lost to Tom Brady. Please.
Let's be honest.
Let me have that.
The NFL missed the boat. The kickoff game should have been the Patriots at Dallas. Then we wouldn't have this whole problem with the injury deal, because now this game stinks this weekend when it could have been. Should that not have been the kickoff?
Romo v. Brady.
You don't want to see Brandon Whedon play against the Patriots? No. You're not excited to see Brandon Whedon play? Yeah.
There are a lot of backup QBs out there, a lot of guys under center, a lot of guys on football fields all over America playing that we didn't expect to be seeing. Hey, we talk about McDonald's, and it's time for the debut of another new segment. I'm loving it. Going into week 5 here. What do we love?
Clint Sterner.
I'm going to start with, who are you loving? I'm going to start with you, Elliot Harrison. What jumps out at you here?
Well, I'm going to have to go with the Packers. I put them at the top of the power rankings. I took a little bit of grief for it by not having the Patriots there, but the Patriots were on a bye. And to me, Green Bay, this may be another Super Bowl title for them. That would be number 5, right?
It is. That's a tough call, your power rankings. And I guess I would by a whisker give it to the Packers, given that they took care of the Seahawks up there. Mm-hmm. But the Patriots, I mean, you know, the Patriots...
They look great.
They took care of the Bills, although now the Bills have lost to the Giants as well. But, you know, that looked like a great... The Steelers look good, at least when Seven was healthy. That looked like a good team, but they whipped them pretty good in week 1. That's a pretty tight call. I guess there's no wrong answer there. And a month in, nobody's going to hold your feet to the fire.
They won't. I'm sure they will.
Well, actually, yeah, I'm
on
sure
Twitter
you're crazy.
They should.
I stand corrected. I bet you've been called an idiot.
The Patriot fans are come out in droves about that.
Yeah, true. You know what? That's a conversation for another time. But the fan base that is the most annoying when their team is good, you know who's a sneaky player in that one? The Atlanta Falcons fans. Because they vanish. If the Falcons aren't good, they've disappeared.
Yeah, wilt down.
Patriots, Seahawks, those fan bases, even if their teams aren't good, they'll still talk stuff. Falcons fans, they just vanish. Like, oh, football. We don't pay attention to football down here.
You're disrespecting the ATL. You're disrespecting.
The Ravens fans always give me, you hate the Ravens. That's what I always get from the Ravens.
I get that from 32 fan bases, including Pittsburgh Steelers fans on occasion. Why do you hate the Steelers?
I never heard you say anything negative about the Steelers.
Are you crazy, Bucky?
I'm being honest.
I've never said anything bad. Then why did I pick the Patriots to beat them in week 1?
You didn't have Lev Bell.
All right, Bucky, who are you loving going into
I am loving the cornerback wide receiver matchups this weekend, namely Richard Sherman and A.J. Green and Patrick Peterson versus Calvin Johnson. You're seeing
juicy
premier corners take on top wide receivers. How will those guys hold up? Patrick Peterson is playing really, really well. Struggled last year, but he's back to playing like the Patrick Peterson we expected. Calvin Johnson, on the other hand, is on the decline. I think this is a really, really intriguing matchup. I think this is one where Patrick Peterson has his way.
Is it me, or are we seeing Richard Sherman thrown at more this season?
I don't know. He's on the left side. Like, he's always easy to find. Most of the time, if you look at it from an offensive standpoint, he's on the right-hand side of the offense. Most quarterbacks are right-handed, so that's their comfort zone. Using your own example, Michael Vick, that fourth down play where they threw the out to Antonio Brown, they threw it to his right. He's left-handed. That's why the ball sails. Most of the time, offensive coordinators want to put it in the sweet spot of the quarterback. That's why most balls are going to the right, which is why you want your corner.
We'll pick the overall winner of these games. Who do you like in these individual matchups? A.J. Green versus Rich Sherman, Calvin Johnson versus Patrick Peterson. You think the DBs win this?
Yeah, I like Sherman. By the way, guys, Seahawks, no interceptions yet. Isn't that crazy?
Hey, by the way, I know we talk about it, but I don't think we're really embracing how close the Seahawks were to being 1-3. And if they were 1-3, then it becomes a season-long sort of thing to be seeing if this team that's been in the last two Super Bowls can even get into the playoffs. That's a legitimate story.
They were close, but I know the controversy at the end of the game, I think it took away from the Cam Chancellor impact, play that he made, to punch that ball out, to have the wherewithal to knock that out and to make that kind of play, I think it galvanizes them, and I think it leads them maybe on a run, maybe after this week.
Yeah, there's nothing fluky about Cam's play. If that ball gets tapped out of bounds, or did get tapped out of bounds, there's no lion anywhere near it.
Theo Riddick is close. The ball was going out of bounds.
Yeah, it's good. Yep. Theo Riddick and Golden Tate had their arms up like, hey, we just scored a touchdown. The refs would have bailed the Lions out by a quirky rule. That play Cam Chancellor made, he peeled off the rub route and then circled back. I mean, that was incredible hustle.
It's a three-car garage in which our cars are all parked right here, because that's what I said on our early podcast of the week is, let's not obscure, because KJ Wright with this obscure rule shoved the ball out of bounds. It shouldn't cover up the dynamite play by Cam Chancellor, who was the big story 2 weeks ago. Where is he? The Seahawks team ain't right until Chancellor's back out there. And so we see, against one of the best players in the NFL, he strips him of the ball. It's not hyperbole to say, you know, the Seahawks, if they're 1-3, I don't know if they go to the playoffs. Now they're going to get on a roll. You can feel that. And the Lions with a chance at 1-3, that would have been a huge victory, season-changing for their mentality. Now at 0-4, it's hard to imagine them getting back into it.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I just realized I didn't answer your question. I got Megatron over Patrick Peterson.
Megatron over Patrick Peterson. I had Patrick Peterson over that one. I have Richard Sherman over A.J. Green. Hmm. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the Bengals' offense will sputter. It's just, I think, when they're lined up, I think Richard Sherman does a great job snuffing them out.
I'm looking forward to digging into these games a little bit further. But let me tell you what I'm loving going into Week 5. I'm loving some of the matchups if it were 1978 or thereabouts. I mean, from a uniform perspective. You know I love my uniforms, fellas. E.H., you love them too.
I do.
Buck, you act cool sometimes, but you know, when the hip football guys aren't around and you let your hair down a little bit, you'll concede
uniforms.
You love it.
You just want me to like all retro uniforms. I like some of the new stuff. Mm-hmm. You just like all the...
That's not true. I like Oregon's uniforms.
Which ones?
Some of them.
They have a bunch of them.
Like, they're not always good.
So you like the Donald Duck figure, or you like...
I do like the Donald Duck. Let me speak specifically. First of all, the Steelers and the Chargers are on Monday Night Football. This would be great if they were dressed like this, but they're not going to be, because the Chargers wear those silly get-ups that they currently have. The black numbers on the hat are where it's at,
but
along with the powder blue.
In 78. 78, they were already to the blue helmet. But
that's true. Well, I mean, listen, I'm just talking retro. You're absolutely right, E.H. Yeah. The San Diego Chargers of the Coryell era, when they would wear the white jerseys, blue hat, gold pants, divine.
Still look good.
Either way, it's better than the lousy thing that they're going to wear. Now the Steelers will look good, although they still should wear a gray face mask. It's the color of steel, after all. The other one, this is the big matchup of Week 5, the Seahawks and the Bengals. It's just not going to look good because of those silly tiger stripes on the home team and the...
You don't like the tiger stripes?
Blue. No, I don't like them. It tries too hard. That, though.
Oh, just...
Andy Dalton, I'm calling number 14 Andy Dalton. Ken Anderson, his predecessor in 14, and in black and orange. That's where that uniform's at. Just the simple Bengals looks nice on their hats. And then the retro Seahawks, their original getchups, the silver hat, the silver pants, even the white jerseys, you know? I think that would be a better look if we could get that one. And then lastly, the Patriots are at the Cowboys, and this will be a fine game to watch. Brady v. Whedon, who's not excited about that matchup?
I'm excited about it.
I'm going to watch it for sure. I just wish that the Patriots would wear the Pat Patriot getups, the red jerseys, the white hats.
Right, they're wearing their white robes in the picture that we just showed. But you mentioned Steve Grogan. Here's your fun fact. So you remember when Cam Newton in 2011 had 15 rushing touchdowns?
Mm-hmm.
It was Steve Grogan's record that he You think of Steve Grogan.
Did he have 12 or 13 a year?
Yeah, Steve Grogan in 76. But Steve Grogan, we remember him at the end of his career when he's like in a full body cast.
He's the only QB I can ever remember.
Wearing a neck roll.
But early in his career, he used to run all the time. Just too many hits.
That's right. Yeah, he was a good QB, and ultimately they turned to him in Super Bowl. Well, throughout that season, then 85 when they wound up in the Super Bowl and lost to the Bears. All right, that's a wrap on Who We're Loving This Week, presented by McDonald's All Day Breakfast. I might go get me some after this. You know what? Again, it's my liberty to do
Egg McMuffin or Sausage McMuffin?
Well, can I? Yeah, you know what? I do like that sausage patty in between the bread there. What I really love is that what we don't sing enough songs about is the English muffin. Who's invention was this? Thank goodness that trailblazer came along. All right, let's get into it, fellas. We've already started yapping about it. Week 5, it is time for the Red Challenge Flag. See, I was talking over that. I want to hear the song again. Play it again. Red Challenge Flag pick segment. Can we hear it? You know what? I like it even better when Elliot Harrison sings. Oh.
Red Challenge Flag picks.
Oh, I don't even. Yeah, you try to add a little. Elliot added a little something to it.
Red Challenge Flag.
I feel like your finger was going up. Like your hand was going up when
he could be in
that.
A boy band, Elliot. Red Challenge Flag Pitt.
I almost went with the Michael McDonald with one hand over there.
Red Challenge Flag Pitt.
Oh my gosh.
Hey.
All
right. I love Red Challenge Flag.
All right, Elliot Harris, I'm going to start with you. This is a gimme. Why is this a Red Challenge Flag picks game? I don't understand. Rams? All right, I guess they've had their moments this season so far. But they're up in Lambeau against the Packers. I know who Elliot's going to pick without having to think about it. We just talked about his team.
That's all right. This is a good training one for Balky's night.
That's right.
Process,
now, remember, Elliot's going to just say who he's picking. If you disagree, you throw the flag and analyze why.
You give the analysis.
That's correct. All right, Elliot Harrison, Rams. Packers, how say you?
I'm taking the Packers at Lambeau.
Bucky Brooks, how say you?
I'm going with the Packers, but if I'd known this was all debatable, I would have just taken the counter so I could just pelt him with red flags.
Feel free to do
so. You know, I think the Packers win. I think the Packers ultimately have a better team in Lambeau because Aaron Rodgers is so hot, 43 touchdowns, no interceptions the last 18, 19 games in Lambeau. I think he continues to roll. I am curious to see how Greg Williams attacks him. You know he likes to knock out quarterbacks. That front line can give them some problems up front.
Well, I'm intrigued by a couple of things with this. First of all, Todd Gurley, you know, before this gets too far out of the barn, I want to say, because Bucky, you know I said this, and I want confirmation on this. It's important to me. I have low self-esteem, and I need people who heard me say it to verify before things get too crazy. Who told you? Not at the draft of 2015. I didn't tell you this in 2014. In 2013, did I tell you that Todd Gurley would be a humongous NFL star, one of the great runners of the era?
You may have said it on one of our... On one of our segments.
I said it many times.
We were doing all the college football stuff. But, I mean, it's kind of easy when a guy's rushing for maybe 1,500 yards in the SEC, doing all kinds of stuff, jumping over tall buildings.
Right. There are a lot of good running backs in college football. I don't point at them and say, well, look out for this guy.
I mean, I'd have been more inclined if you'd been like, hey, you know who's going to be good? Justin Forsett's going to be good. Like, that's what I want. I want some insider tips.
Cal?
How about when I'm right? How about when...
Okay, you're right. You're right with...
Yeah, you're right. I'm right. You're right. That's exactly right. And you're both right that the Packers are going to win this game. That streak, I mean, people love their numbers and everything, but that streak, I don't even know what the number is specifically, what it must be, 570-ish that Aaron Rodgers now has thrown in Lambeau without getting picked off. It's, you know, remarkable stuff. So you got to stay with the Packers here, I guess. I took the Chiefs, actually. I thought maybe that'd be a letdown. Chiefs trying to bounce back after the loss in Denver. That didn't work out. So now I just can't go against Rodgers again.
Not in title time.
I have two questions. One, Forsett, Cal?
Yeah.
Yep.
I usually don't get that. Two, have you ever seen scouting anyone in college who's had a run like this at home? The way Rodgers had at home. Anyone dominate from the quarterback position at home like this?
No, I haven't seen anything like this. This is remarkable. And I was in Green Bay when Brett Favre won 3 straight MVP. So that era from 95 to 97, won nearly every game at home. It was a decided home field advantage. They've recreated that in Lambeau now. Aaron Rodgers is phenomenal. I haven't seen anybody play at
how
this
big,
level.
How big, before we move to the next game, is how big a switch was that from what you know from the people inside the building there? That's a pretty big change, not talent-wise, but from Brett Favre's personality to Aaron Rodgers, that must have been some 180-degree turn to go from a guy that's all charisma. Not that Rodgers isn't entertaining, but, you know, you hear enough about him that he's quiet and standoffish. And
a little bit, yeah, because obviously when I'm there, like 95, 96, 97, he's young, he's wild cowboy. Brett Favre is the man at that time. I think with Aaron Rodgers, he definitely has a quieter personality, a little more laid back. Can be prickly because he takes everything very personal, has a big chip on his shoulder, much like Brett, plays the game differently. He has some of that where he can improvise and play outside the pocket, but he's not nearly as reckless with the ball as Brett was. Both are Hall of Fame caliber players. Both guys are guys that we'll talk about for a long time. Aaron just does it in a very methodical way where Brett Favre kind of did it by flying by the seat of his pants.
Yeah, and you know, but don't discount, that's the beauty of Rodgers is that he's both. He's efficient, he's on the money and everything else, but he's got some cowboy to him too that he can, you know, when the play breaks down, he can do some of that Russell Wilson.
There's a lot of confidence, and he plays with a lot of confidence. He doesn't mind letting you know that he's the deal.
All right, let's get to the big one of the game, the big one of the weekend. We talked about it a little bit. Hawks, Bengals, Bucky. How say you?
Bengals.
Bengals. Ooh, at home. How say you? Throw the red challenge flag at him. Let him see how it's done. Yeah! There you go,
I'm
kid.
Challenge that, Bucky.
See, that's fun when
you challenge that.
Yeah, because Andy Dalton's been playing out of his mind. He is due for a letdown at some point, and he has not faced a secondary like this. And call it a simple analysis, but Seattle's defense really is different with Cam Chancellor. They really are. And Cincinnati, you know, Jeremy Hill hasn't really gotten going yet. He's getting the touchdowns, so people think they see him on the highlight shows. But he isn't playing like he did towards the end of last year when he really went on a run. If they can't get the running game going, I think they're really going to struggle offensively.
I'm going to give you a little insider information. I wrote about the Cincinnati Bengals today. It'll post up later. The Cincinnati Bengals under Hugh Jackson are a dynamic offense. Look, they have the most offensive touchdowns of anyone in the league. Andy Dalton is playing at an MVP level. Talking about a guy who has a passer rating over 120 three straight weeks. Last time it was done, Phillip Rivers did it last year. But this is a guy that's playing at a great rate. And the way that you beat the Seattle Seahawks is you have to be willing to take the check down and the underneath throws. Andy Dalton has shown a willingness to do that. Don't be fooled by the fact that he's averaging 10.2 yards per attempt. That's tremendous production, but a lot of that are catch and run throws. Mm-hmm. That is the weakness of playing, like when you play that defense that they play in Seattle, cover three, they want you to force down, then they come rallying and tackle. I think they're going to be committed to throwing the ball underneath and steal a page from the Patriots and the San Diego Chargers playbook when they defeated
the Seahawks. It's old news, but it's funny that that's how you beat the Seahawks, because when you watch them sitting there on Monday night, the thing that jumps out at you is how much speed they have on defense. They're all over the field, and yet you're exactly right. And really, that as we keep the recurring theme of 2015, are these catch and run kind of plays. That's what offenses are now turning to, it would seem, is that they're
Get it out of the quarterback's hand so he doesn't get sacked. Make sure that you put him on the perimeter. The Cincinnati Bengals have only allowed 2 sacks this season. Going to get to Andy Dalton. And then when you look at diversity, I believe their offense is so diverse because you have A.J. Green, you have Mohamed Sanu, Marvin Jones on the outside. Tyler Eifert is like that matchup nightmare. Yep. And then your backfield, you talked about Jeremy Hill, his production being down. His production has been down. He does have 7 rushing touchdowns, but they're using him differently. When I talked to Hugh Jackson in the offseason, he said it's important to build an offense around what Andy Dalton can do. If you really look at this offense, a lot of the things are what he did at TCU. A lot of read option stuff, some quick passes. Giovanni Bernard is a better fit because he played in a shotgun offense in North Carolina. That's why he's getting more touches, more carries.
Yeah, you mentioned San Diego and the Patriots beating him last year. Well, San Diego Gates had 3 touchdowns on him.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had trouble with the tight end historically. And Eifert, man, he looks like the real deal now that he's healthy. And then the Patriots in the Super Bowl, who's the guy that caught 10, 11 balls?
Shane Vereen.
Shane Vereen. And Gio Bernard, I think, is the equivalent of Shane Vereen.
Well, the thing I like about that Bengals team is, if unless it is Rodgers or Roethlisberger or Wilson you're talking about, is that offensive line. You keep your guy clean. Most, I don't know. There are 20, 25 people on the face of the earth that will thrive under those circumstances. You know, mm-hmm. the QB, and Andy Dalton's one of them. You keep him nice and clean and give him an extra second back.
He's a little more athletic than people give him credit for, too. Yeah. He's making some plays on the move this year. That's a lot of their big production. Has been with
wow.
him leaving the
Speaking
pocket.
Of that, Russell Wilson, just sublime. I know the turnovers, and you know, you really have to cut back on those. And he does make bad decisions. But nonetheless, you know, Buck, you've played defense in the NFL. How backbreaking is it when a guy starts doing that? Hey, we got everything covered. We did everything right here. And the guy is just doing whirling dervish nonsense and extending the play and killing us anyway.
It hurts you because what you can plan for the scripted plays. You can plan for what they do in the passing game and in the running game. But when Russell Wilson runs around and make plays kind of flying by the seat of his pants, it's hard, and they do a great job with the scramble drill. You'll see him roll out to his right. All the receivers make their way to that sideline. They make a lot of plays off of that. The one thing about Russell, I don't know if he can sustain playing in such a spontaneous manner because it's a rhythm to the game, and there's no rhythm to what they do on offense. They have three and out,
yep.
then a big play. It's hard to sustain it versus good teams. They've been able to win like that. But if they don't have Marshawn Lynch and they're not able to run the ball, this Cincinnati defense is
well, if they have a middle-of-the-pack defense, I'm not talking a bad one. If they're just like, yeah. you know, 13th or 15th in the league defensively, they have no chance. But this time, I say that defense does look good. 18-16, the visitors pull that one out. Let's move on. Patriots at Cowboys. No one's taking the Cowboys, are they, Elliot Harrison? How say you?
No, I'm still stuck on 18-16. Six Stephen Hauschka field goals.
We'll see. The scores are getting weird with these missed extra points and everything.
I love it. I am taking the New England Patriots.
Bucky Brooks, how say you?
Oh, I'm going to take the Patriots. Tom Brady's angry. He comes off the bus. I think they attack vulnerable Cowboys secondary. However, Greg Hardy comes back. Dials it up. Rolando McClain comes back this week, too.
That's right.
That defense is going to play a lot better. This is going to be a much closer game than people expect.
It's funny, Greg Hardy's humility didn't miss the trip.
I mean, he is what he is. But, like, here's the thing. Dallas's defense has been pretty good to this point. Now you get a legitimate pass rush. You get Greg Hardy. You get Randy Gregory eventually coming back. Rolando McClain. That defense is going to actually carry the water until they can finally get Tony Romo back somewhere down the line.
All right, I'm going to go with the Patriots, of course, too. I keep saying the front seven of the Patriots is quietly pretty good. I think overall that defense is deficient and is going to get exposed at some point. This idea of an undefeated season is going to go away because of that. But, Brandon Whedon, talk about a guy who likes to be clean. He's one of those guys. If you get anywhere close to him, he powers.
It's so funny. Like, he likes to attack the middle of the field. He is completing a high number of his passes right down the middle, in between the hashes. If he's going to attack, he's going to try and hit him right down the pipe.
We've learned about trash talking, and 101 is you don't talk about somebody's lady. You don't get in.
Oh, I mean,
Ike and MJD. Ike and MJD, who are trash talkers supreme,
what your
say you don't bring
is.
That. Bring
you don't
that
want,
up.
You don't want to do that. It,
oh, Greg
it can
Hardy.
Get violent, but
that. But one thing you don't do it to Tom Brady. Tom Brady now is going to set about embarrassing Greg Hardy at some. He does it all the time. If you do something like that, he goes after you and shames you at some point during the game. Be on the lookout for that one. Next up, Steelers, Chargers, Bucky Brooks, Monday Night Football. How say you?
I'm going to go to Superchargers. The San Diego Chargers get it done at home. Qualcomm.
I don't like that. You're not supposed to analyze it.
Well, that's
now
fine.
I'm angry with
that's
you.
Fine.
Please.
Chargers.
Throw that thing at him. For me,
Chargers.
For everybody.
Now, how are you going? How are you going?
I'm going to set it right back down because I agree.
I
agree.
Why? Why so? Why
okay,
do you agree?
Okay, I'll tell you why. Because. Because
I said so.
It's because Bucky said so.
You guys always agree.
That's right.
San Diego's pass protection is terrible, but Pittsburgh hasn't been getting back there enough anyway. And just
that's
like
not true.
Not enough, big guy. And just like you were saying with Cincinnati, you talk about him having having underneath options. Antonio Gates comes back. Danny Woodhead, I swear, every time people talk about Danny Woodhead, it's like little Danny Woodhead. It's almost like they feel sorry for him. This guy's a damn good player. Like a damn good player. Had 138 yards from scrimmage. And by the way, Keenan Allen's had a heck of a year too.
Now, they have all the weapons coming back. Antonio Gates is a big, big addition. He now allows Phillip Rivers to attack the middle of the field. Has a nice synergy, Ladarius Green making plays right there. Look, Stevie Johnson, Keenan Allen.
Malcolm Floyd's 50.
You know, like they have a lot of weapons. Phillip Rivers would be pumped and ready to go.
Antonio Danny Woodhead is
the X factor that you talked about. Danny Woodhead out of the backfield could have a big, big game. And also, for the Steelers, how comfortable are you really allowing Michael Vick to let it rip? You've heard Antonio Brown talking about the rhythm and timing is off in the passing game. It can't be a Lev Bell game only. They have to be able to pass the ball.
Well, that's where I disagree, as a matter of fact. I think that Levy and Bell does need to be leaned on even more than he was in the Thursday night game a week and a half ago. That's what it's... You know what? The Chargers have no feel for me. That sort of plagues them. It seems like that's sort of true of the Chargers for the last decade, right? That they, like, the first 6 or 8 weeks, it's sort of like, what are they? They lose games. They're like, well, they lost to that team, and then they win games. And, the Chargers look – they have no feel, once again, to me. I think the Steelers – I don't know. What do I don't know.
He's taking the Steelers.
I'm taking the Steelers because of the pieces. They have Antonio Brown, and they have Le'Veon Bell, and I'm going to rely that that'll be enough.
I have a question for you. As a Steeler fan, why not put D'Angelo Williams and Le'Veon Bell back there at the same time, and why not have D'Angelo Williams have a little bit more workload? Didn't you want
Bucky,
to see that?
Why? Oh, by the way, I'll
take the game off Mike Vick. Take it off of him.
Listen, I talked about that at great length. Why did Todd Haley go away from 26 in overtime when he was killing the Ravens?
But not just 26. I mean, why not get D'Angelo Williams more involved?
Why can't you? Because this is the lament of the average Steeler fan. And people say, oh, you don't understand football. Why can't you put two tailbacks on the field in NFL football in the 21st century?
You can, but you're inviting the blitz to come. Because most of the time with your tailbacks, those guys aren't blockers. So they don't want to have to deal with guys that are coming in faster than them to run over them on the way to the quarterback. Ideally, you would like to have someone who can be stout, whether it be a blocking tight end or a fullback or a back that is known for blocking. You don't want to have both guys. Because, look, when you have
Bell and Williams are both fine in pass pro. Bell is
that's cool, but now
great at
what happens when you have those guys on, that means are you going to take one of the wide receivers off the field? Are you going to take Heath Miller off the field? Like,
you talk about a mismatch. If you just go with a pro set and they're on either hip of the QB, what do you do as the defense? The linebackers are in a lot of trouble matchup-wise.
Maybe they're going to play nickel because they're going to say that you're probably not going to run out of that formation because who's going to be the lead blocker? Is Lev Bell going to block for D'Angelo Williams? Is D'Angelo Williams going to block for Lev Bell? No, so they're going to play pass. So now when you add that extra defensive back in, the advantage is a little neutralized, negated, because now you have a DB playing against Bell as opposed to a linebacker. I think you actually hurt your offense when you put two running backs on the field in Pittsburgh's case, because I think they get Martavis Bryant back this week.
Yeah, right? That's right.
Yes.
You see Martavis Bryant, Antonio Brown, Marcus Wheaton. Look, even DHB has played well. You're taking one of those explosive guys off the field to kind of put in
having Williams to spell him more would be nice so that he comes out and he can be explosive like this.
I think this is the week that Le'Veon Bell gets off here. He hasn't exploded just yet as good as he looked against the Ravens. Next up, Saints at Eagles. Two teams, lots of sorrow in the two cities in which they play because of the way they've played. Elliot Harrison, how say you?
I am going with the Philadelphia Eagles.
All right, Bucky, how say you now?
Man, if I got Elliott picks, I would have pegged them because I would have gone opposite
just to do it. I want what's in your gut. I don't want that, you know, you don't have to be, well, you know what, that's not true.
I would have liked to throw the flag. I'm going with the Eagles. I'm going with the Eagles because their backs are against the wall. Chip Kelly has to push his chips into the middle of the thing. He has to come up with a great game plan and attack this defense. Offensively, they've been really scattershot, not running the ball as effectively as they have. I look for Ryan Matthews and Darren Sproles to be big factors. And they're young receivers. Someone has to step up. They've been having to lean on the veterans, Riley Cooper, Miles Austin. I don't like that combination, but I think they have to find a way to put someone on the field who can be productive to help Sam Bradford.
Well, hasn't been Nelson Aguilar for the
It hasn't. He's not a natural number one. Like, that's the one thing that I'll say. He's a nice complimentary piece. I liken him to Reggie Wayne when he came out, but remember, Reggie Wayne was the apprentice to Marvin Harrison for nearly a decade before he finally ascended to the role. Nelson Aguilar is more comfortable being a complimentary piece. And even with Jordan Matthews, they don't have a true number one receiver. There's no one in the passing game that defensive coordinators say, oh my goodness, we need to make sure we double team them. So without that fear, they can commit more people to the run game and play more man-to-man, which takes away a lot of those easy throws that offense gives.
Hear me now, believe me later, fantasy owners. Jordan Matthews, 2 touchdowns on this day.
Maybe so, but I just want to
bad secondary.
Piggyback one thing. They may not have somebody to double team, but they got back into that game against Atlanta in the second half when they got Darren Sproles out there for more than half the plays, because he can be a nightmare for linebackers trying to cover him, and he can break it. I wish they would use him more.
He can. You know, the thing about it and thinking about it, the Saints would know him better than anybody. I think if they do bring out a heavy dose of Darren Sproles or Ryan Matthews, I think you have to commit your double team to Sproles and dare them to throw it outside. Aguilar, Matthews, those guys haven't consistently proven that they can win against one-on-one. I'm willing to lock them up and take away Darren Sproles and force Sam Bradford to throw the ball outside.
24-20, home team gets it. Congratulations to the Eagles. Wrap it up with this one, fellas. The Cardinals are at the Detroit Lions. Who'd I start with last time there?
Me.
Bucky Brooks. You
Detroit.
Start this one. You're taking the Lions.
Yeah, I'm taking the Lions. They have to get off the mat. Look, they played really well on defense against the Seattle Seahawks. Say what you want to about the Seahawks offensive line. I felt like Terrell Austin did a great job of crafting that game plan. I think they get back on track. Offensively, that is where they need work. Matt Stafford has to have a big game. They got to find a way to do it.
You watch this. You know what's going to happen here? I have a feeling Elliot Harrison is going to make that red challenge flag fly like a Carson Palmer pass to Larry Fitzgerald. Fly, red bird, and red flag, fly. Go ahead.
I'm taking the Lions, man.
Lions. Taking the Cardinals.
Lions, right. Get off the – no, take it.
I'm taking the Lions, too. Yes. I mean, yeah, we're all taking
Why
the Lions.
Why are you taking the Lions?
Well, I want Elliot to go first.
This is a gut play for me. This is a desperate team. 0-4, their defense, their front four, man, played great. Mm-hmm. Again, I know Seattle offensive line is, you know what, you line up and play who's on your schedule. So I'm not going to blame Seattle's ineptitude up front for the Lions being good in the front four. And, man, Ziggy Ansah, I tell you what, man, he balled in that second half. I think that Detroit at home, they're a desperate team. They got to be ticked off. How about just winning a game because you're mad?
I think what happens in the locker room, Bucky, to me it feels like, or not even in the locker room, once they get out on the field, I feel like this game, and like I say, I'm going Lions too, but it's sort of like we said about the Dolphins in the preseason. I picked the Dolphins to win the division, but I put the big asterisk next to it. I said, if they get out of the gate slowly, this is going to be one of the worst teams in the AFC, and now they are, because it's a gut thing. And I feel like if the Lions go out there and they score early, it's gonna the stress will reduce and they'll get rolling and they'll feel good. I think if they get down a touchdown, 10 points in this one, they're just gonna collapse and they will never come back in the season. But I'm gonna gamble that they're gonna show up early in this game, start feeling good, beat the Cardinals.
Big game. They have to play with desperation. Joe Lombardi has to call a game as if it's a playoff berth on the line. He has to find a way to make Matt Stafford comfortable. He has not been comfortable. He's not really completing a high number of his passes, and he continues to turn the ball over. And so if I'm Joe Lombardi, I want to make sure within the first 10 plays that I make sure that Matt Stafford is in a rhythm. I need to get touches to Golden Tate, Calvin Johnson. I either want Amir Abdullah to touch the ball early. Force the fear in the defense by going at them. It's a tough defense that you're dealing with, the Arizona Cardinals. More than likely, you're not going to be able to run. This is a game where Matt Stafford may have to throw 40, 45.
Well, it's funny because the bubble screens, those need to go to Golden Tate. The one thing Megatron does not do compared to
And he's
Leo
coming
Jones,
back to the fact. Yeah,
Demaryius Thomas or anybody else. Calvin Johnson throwing a little swing pass and say, hey, run this one for 20 yards. That's not the way
he's
going.
He's not that kind of explosive
but
guy.
But Tate can do that.
Sure. I feel like this is like the third down back show, because the guy that's been the best back for them is Theo Riddick. When he's on the field, he makes plays for them. I feel like Amir Abdullah's 1,000-yard season is under here somewhere. I don't know what's going on with him. I thought that he was supposed to be the big fantasy
guy.
Yeah, the hype train, exactly. The Davante Adams Memorial Award is what we should call it next year. But I feel like Theo Riddick is really key for them. And, you got to get Golden Tate involved. Isn't Eric Ebron hurt right now?
I think he's hurt. That actually may be good for Calvin Johnson and Golden Tate. So now it's one less guy that can divert the attention of Matt Stafford. You have to get Golden Tate involved early. Those bubble screens, those quick plays, those things where he catches it on the move, allow him to do the work. I think Calvin Johnson there is really coming back to the pack in terms of he's no longer that guy that is head and shoulders above everyone else at the position. You don't see the speed. You don't see the explosiveness. You're beginning to see, like, issues with drops. And that hit that Cam Chancellor put on him, not the one at the end zone, but the one over the middle of the field.
Yep. Yes.
To me, that was a thing I was like, ooh. He didn't see that. It was big. He's big enough to sustain it, but you're now seeing him get tagged more. I just think they need to kind of move and shift the offensive approach.
Wait, we just spent 5 minutes of our lives talking about the 0-4 Lions. The intriguing thing is if the Cardinals lose, all of a sudden all this thing about, like, the Cardinals are getting away from the Seahawks the first month, that Seahawks are going to be right there in the NFC West and have them right in their sights there. Here are the rest of my picks for Week 5 here. You can check those out at NFL.com. On my weekly spoiler alert, of course, NFL.com, you also find Elliot Harrison's. I'm going, if you're listening to us on Friday or Saturday, maybe I look bad here, but I think the Texans, waiting for the Clowney and Watt explosion. When are these two going to take off already? Chiefs handle at home, finally get a win there. Falcons over D.C., Buccaneers versus Jags in the ugly uniform bowl. I mean, ugh, what a terrible sight that's going to be. Jameis Winston will scratch one out there. The Jags, though, have been showing up this year, except against the Patriots. Browns at Ravens. I'm going to go with the Ravens there, but they have a bad habit.
Only if Johnny Football shows up.
Week after Pittsburgh, they have a bad habit of not showing up Harbaugh's teams, except that they had the extra few days
right,
to get ready.
Right.
That's what saves them there. Bills at Titans, I'll go with the Bills. Broncos and Raiders. Boy, I really struggled with this one. Will behind the glass, though, convinced me. He's a Raiders fan.
He convinced you to go the other way?
He made me. He said, absolutely not. You cannot say the Raiders.
He made you go the other way?
He made me do it last week, and I was right initially. I said, you watch. The Bears win this one. The Raiders are young. They won't show up for a game like this, and the Bears will get them. And Will talked me out of that one. What am I doing? Why am I listening to Will again? I don't know, but I'll go with the Broncos to get the 5-0. Last one, Sunday night, 49ers and the Giants. Who canceled? That's our Sunday night game?
Yeah, it's
for
a good
all
game.
Of America?
It's a good game.
Yeah, it's a good game. For hey, the Giants, because they're going to win, because the Niners are crummy.
I know a lot of you.
Oh, you're taking the Niners?
I'll take the Niners in that one.
All right.
I just wanted to assure all of your listeners, sometimes they feel like, hey, we don't get to see it. All that was just a big wall of graphics that they missed.
Yeah, it wasn't very exciting.
It was just a couple team logos. And yeah.
Trust me. Trust EH. It wasn't very good. Hey, Bucky, you love the college football. I love it. Elliot Harrison, not so much. But a lot of people in these hallways do. We went around yesterday and talked to some people to see how well they knew their college fight song. Take a look here.
Hey, everybody. College football's back. We're really excited about it. Even people who talk about pro football for a living, people like MJD. Hey, MJD, why don't you go ahead and sing the UCLA fight song?
We are the mighty Bruins, the best team in the West. We're marching on to victory to conquer all the rest.
Oh, will you look at this? Ike Taylor, as usual, surrounded by women. Hey, take a break for 1 second. Sing your fight song. Hey, Ike, sing your fight song. Ike, fight song, go! You don't know it, do you?
I don't know. I don't know why you come over here with the mic.
Hey, Steve Weish, ace reporter for NFL Media. Sing your fight song.
My fight song? Oh, Howard, we sing to thee. It's not a fight song. It's more an alma mater. It's more of a gospel thing than Howard University.
Not a fan.
We are the mighty Bruins, triumphant evermore. And you can hear from far near the mighty Bruin roar.
Yeah, Colleen Wolf, NFL Now. Sing your fight song.
My fight song, it's go, 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 Shaq. Shaq is going to help me go, go, go. I don't know. Look at Jen. She is, why don't we ask Jen?
Stop asking other people. I want you. What's the name of your school?
My school?
Drexel?
Yeah, sing the fight song.
Drexel doesn't even have a sports team. Like,
enough of you. I hear someone singing the right tune here. This guy is speaking my language, or more accurately, singing my language. Indiana University alumnus, not unlike myself.
Right?
Rhett Lewis, Lay It On Me, the IU fight song.
Indiana, 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 we're all for you. We will fight for the cream and crimson, For the glory of old IU, never daunted, we will not falter. In the battle, we're tried and true. Indiana, 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 we're all for you.
UCLA, UCLA, fight, fight, fight. There you go.
Well done. Mark is took, everybody.
How's it going, guys?
I didn't ask for greetings. I want song, boy.
What song? Let's see. All right, here we go. Hold on.
You have to put your bag down to sing?
Well, I can hum the fight song, but I can do the, I don't even know what it's called, but it's riff, ram, ba, zoo, lickety, lickety, zoo, zoo, hoo, wah, wah, hoo, give them hell, TCU. That's how you do it.
And that belonged in the Final Four last year? I don't think so, sir.
What is Alabama's fight song? Or Oregon's?
Those aren't my business.
I mean, is that their fight song?
Do your horn frog symbol thing. What do they do? That's really dumb. That's really dumb.
It really, really does try way too hard. Buck, you know your UNC fight song.
Yeah, I'm a Tar Heel born, I'm a Tar Heel bred, and when I die, I'll be Tar Heel dead. So it's rah-rah Carolina line, rah-rah Carolina line, rah-rah Carolina, go to hell.
What was that? I'm not sure I even know what that little flourish at the end was all
That's part of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Looked like you gave me the finger or something
that's
there.
That's part of it.
All right. Elliot Harrison, HQ, Monday through Friday, and then on Sunday, Elliot, Bucky, Ike Taylor, Maurice Jones-Drew, Mark Iztook, Colleen Wolf, Akbar Bajabiamila, we all get together from 1 p.m. Eastern all the way through the late games conclusion. We watch them. It's NFL Now Game Day Blitz. Make sure you tune in for that one. And Bucky Brooks, I guess that's it for you, too. I was going to promote something, but oh, move the sticks. That's what I was going to promote.
Oh, okay.
Oh, speaking of which, will you give Daniel Jeremiah a message? I've been waiting to tell him this, and I want you to tell him. What? The message is, Daniel Jeremiah, you are...
Find out more on the next DDFP.